Hello, welcome back to the Long Distance Podcast. With me today is just Ilham.
Again.
We were supposed to, it's a Sunday, where at the time we're recording, we were supposed to record yesterday, but then I was really tired. Ilham, what did you have?
I mean, we were supposed to record in the morning, right? Or like the usual time.
The usual time is on like Jakarta time, like 12. But then Ika didn't want to record.
Like Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Jakarta time.
Yeah. So we've been recording for the past 2 weeks on a Sunday. So right now Ika is busy. She has dinner with a family member, I guess. Right? So she will not be joining us for today's episode. So today's episode is same as last week's.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about whatever's going on.
So
whatever interesting things are happening.
So we started, I named this segment, but if you guys have any suggestions, you know, shoot us a DM on our Instagram.
That wasn't a serious name, right? We don't know what to call this.
Yeah, we called it whatever happened a few weeks ago. So this is like when we just want to talk about news that matters to us. If you didn't listen to last week's episode. So yeah. So same thing happened. All right. So anything you want to talk about, Ilham?
We'll just recap the anything COVID related on your end. Any new updates?
This is starting to become a COVID podcast, but
we have to, dude. It's the biggest. It's like a global pandemic. We can't not talk about it.
I mean,
it's very relevant.
Yeah, I mean, like,
if there's nothing, then like it's fine. Don't say anything.
I don't. Yeah, there's nothing's been going on. As I honestly refuse to read any like statistics anymore, just for the sake of not being depressed on that day. I guess like normality is still like, you know, coming back. A lot of more restaurants are open again, facilities are being used even more, even though our numbers are still not rising. It's just like, it's just going up and down. It's just, I guess it's flattening, even though, like, I think Jakarta doesn't have the most confirmed cases anymore. It's East Java or something, West Java. So Jakarta's number two, which is good. So, but then like you have to account that Jakarta was first to get like tested and analyzed. Like the city was the first one to take response, even though it was late. Jakarta was the first one to respond, so we have to take account for that. But there are many other it's now second from the most contact. It's second in the red zone, I guess. And
yeah. I mean, I would expect Jakarta to be like the first to respond.
Yeah,
like I would hope so.
I don't know. It's just like, I honestly haven't read any COVID-related news in like a few days, because I just refuse to read anything about it. And I guess people, it's just like, it doesn't mean that I'm resenting COVID. It's just, I'd rather just not deal with it and just like go on with my day, like with a clear head. That's what I mean. Like not, of course, still wearing a mask, of course, still wearing gloves if needed. As Ilham saw, we had impromptu video call with Ilham and Ika this morning in Jakarta time, and I took them to the supermarket. So yeah, that's been going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's been going on in Chicago, Ilham?
I'll just add, the only thing here is like, I think it's the state of Illinois, but they basically, the US the cases are just still going up in particular states that like Texas. I don't know if we mentioned this last week, but like Texas, Florida, like Arizona, I think, and some other states, their cases are rising like pretty rapidly. Mm-hmm. And I think the state of Illinois issued like a quarantine thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're traveling or flying in from one of those states into Illinois, I think there's like a, you know, the mandatory 14-day quarantine, which I don't really understand. I mean, I guess it's good that they're implementing that.
Of course.
But I don't know why they haven't done that from before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's the only update I'll give.
I mean, there's not much to it right now. Like, it's just, the world needs to revolve. And, yeah.
The world needs to revolve?
I mean, like...
Money?
The world keeps turning. That's what I mean. It's been a long day for me. The world
keeps spinning.
Time keeps on spinning. Into the future.
All right. Oh. So, what else we got? We got Hamilton. Hamilton just released on Disney Plus, I think, as a Hamilton's like a Broadway show, and they just released like as a movie or something on Disney Plus, Russia, and it's had a nice movie. Viewing party.
Yeah. So
you want to talk about that a little?
So yeah, Hamilton released in the 4th of July American in United States time, and it
America Day.
America Day. Yes. Anyone who's celebrating 4th of July, yes. Happy Independence Day in America. But yeah, so it released, and I think my mom got like a reference code so that she can watch Hamilton. Like now, it's like you can watch it illegally, but then like we've watched it legally, I guess, because she got like a
that is good to hear.
Yeah, it's from the American Embassy in Jakarta, and yeah, I think it was I just finished like the viewing party, which is just like viewing party is just me and my family and like a couple of my sister's friends. Just here, just like watching Hamilton at home. And yeah, I honestly think it's a really good play as like a person who was involved in the arts when I was young. That's something that like people only like really old friends know about me. I was very involved in the arts, I guess, back in middle school. And like watching it is just like a different thing. And it's really good, I would say, and it's really different. Like the amount of memorization, I guess, that the cast members have to remember all the choreography and all the it's like a very hip hop influence.
Yeah, you could say hip hop too. It's like hip hop influenced.
Yeah, hip hop rap influenced musical. And remembering lines from a musical is already hard, but just imagine like having to read all those, like rap is really, I know everyone knows rap, but then like it's rap about history and about like, just like, it's just like immensely, like I was just like shaken, I guess. Like I was just like shooketh. I don't know if that's a term. That like these people are so heavily talented and like just have like the enormous amount of respect. Yeah, it was really good, and it's no wonder there was like a worldwide phenomenon, and all the times like they had tickets, it would always sell out. It's really, really. I think it justifies like how after watching it, like I feel like it's justified for all the hype it got, I guess. So Hamilton is about the story of Alexander Hamilton, by the way, one of America's founding fathers, right?
No, it wasn't a founding father.
Huh? He was, dude.
No, he was not a founding father.
That's what it said on his Wikipedia.
I, Well, I mean, if you're talking about founding fathers, as in like the people that are on like Mount Rushmore, he's not a founding father in that sense. I mean, he's like, I mean, I don't know how we define. I'm thinking founding father is in like, you know, the four people on Mount Rushmore. That's what I think of as like.
Who are the four people on Mount Rushmore? Father.
Or maybe founding father just to, I don't know, actually.
Aren't all like.
What is a founding father?
Like he helped make America, dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I definitely. Yeah. Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Aren't founding fathers just presidents? Founding
father is just someone.
Like, yeah. No, sorry.
I
think Mount Rushmore. Is Mount Rushmore just president?
What was that?
Is Mount Rushmore just president? Right?
No.
Oh, okay. Wait, is it? I haven't been to
America. Wait, yeah. I don't know, dude.
Just pulls out of
I think so, yes.
Well, he was never president.
So. Wait, no. Is it just president? Yes, it is just presidents.
Yeah, maybe that, like, that's why.
All right, yeah. Yes, Hamilton was an influential figure in helping create the United States. So you can continue.
Yeah. Yeah, overall, like, I have really... I'm just, like, exhausted by watching it because it's just a lot to take in. Because there's just a lot of words in 3 hours. That's all I can say. It's a lot of words that you.
Is there like intermissions?
There's, of course, it's the intermission in like the movie is just like a minute. It's just like intermission, 1 minute, and then it resumes. So I didn't take a break. Like my mom and I didn't take a break. So
you got to take a break, dude.
Yeah, it was 3 hours, bro. Honestly, I was really tired just watching it, just trying to digest it. But then, like, overall, damn, I would give it, like, a 8, 9, actually, 9 out of 10 for the plays I've watched and, like, in real life and in movie form, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah, maybe I have to watch it. I've seen it live, and it was a good experience as well. It is...
You watched Hamilton?
Yeah, I watched it live like last year, I think.
When?
But I didn't watch it.
Oh, you said last year. Okay. With your parents or just with?
Yeah, with my like family, I guess. Oh, my family was visiting. Mm. But I didn't watch it because when it first, the original like New York cast, they like, I think because Hamilton visited Chicago the first year. I didn't watch it during the first year, which is with like the original New York cast, which I think is the people that you see on the Disney Plus movie thing.
It's a Disney. Yeah, they said it's the original cast because it was recorded in 2016.
Yeah, I think I didn't see it with the original cast, but like it's still very good and it is different. Like I've seen some other like Broadway shows in the past, which were it's just different, you know, like the hip hop influenced music does make it. I think it's a little more like beginner friendly in the sense that, you know, if you don't really watch Broadway shows and then you watch Hamilton, I think it's a little easier. Yeah. It's a little easier to like appreciate, I think. And it does like tell a interesting story that like not a lot of people know about. I don't know if it's still premiering in the US. I think it is, maybe in like New York. If it is, I would still recommend watching it. And then, yeah, I guess. I haven't watched on Disney Plus, but maybe I will see how different it is.
Well, if you can't afford if you can't afford to get the tickets or just like can't go if you're not in America, just watch the
watch it
online. It's worth it. Like the 3 hours, as much as like I'm tired just watching it after watching it, and I've had a long day overall today. Yeah. Like it's really really good, and like I didn't regret watching it.
Yeah, I will say it's a was kind of conceived or this musical. So Obama back in 2009, when he was president, he started this White House Evening of Poetry, Music, and Spoken World. It was basically like they invite different like artists to perform at the White House. And I think it's something that Obama started. And then the, what's his name? Basically, the guy who made the Hamilton musical, he premiered one of the, he presented one of the songs at that event. And that's when it got a lot of people talking. And then eventually he turned that into an entire musical about Hamilton. So thanks, Obama.
Yo, Obama.
We miss you.
We miss you, man. Come back. Oh, yeah, speaking of presidents, Kanye. Wow. Yeah,
you want to talk about presidency first?
Yeah, because
we have two topics.
Yeah, it's well, no, it's a I good. Guess... It's a good like. It's a good transition. Natural progression. We were supposed to talk about another topic. We have like an agenda of what topics we want to write. What we want to talk about, sorry. And then I was just like, oh, talking about presidents. Okay, let's just go to Kanye's presidency announcement on Twitter.
Yeah, he just announced on Twitter that he's running for president this year, Kanye 2020.
Ilham, and you have a say in this. I don't, but. Please enlighten us.
I mean, there's not much to say. It's just he's running for president now, and like.
But did he try to run for president? But like when it was Trump.
No.
Or was that like
he's always like, just said like
2020.
He said previously he wanted to do 2020, and then like I'm gonna postpone to 2024, but now he's doing it in 2020, and it's like it is literally a late registration, because I don't think they're like in. It's too late for him to declare himself as a candidate in like six different states, so he won't be on the ballots. But either way, like,
don't vote for him.
Honestly, this is probably just a big publicity stunt. But then again, so was Trump's presidential campaign until it wasn't a publicity stunt, and he actually got somewhat far. Well, now he's the.
He actually got somewhat far, bruh. He won.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. I understand. Like, it is a big publicity stunt. Like, he has no. I mean, just like Trump, dude. He has no. Like,
he has nothing to lose, dude.
No, nothing to lose. But it's just like he has no reason being there. Like, this actually genuinely is annoying, because a lot of people now are going to be like. You know, it was a meme to vote for Trump, and everyone was like, either like they didn't vote because like Trump's not going to win, or they vote for Trump because he's not going to win. Who cares? Like, let's just make it a meme to vote for Trump, and he actually won. I think it's going to be it could end up being the same thing with Kanye, where a lot of people who would not have voted for or would give their vote. Let's just say, regardless of what you think of the presidential candidates, I'm just going to. Throw it out there and say, whoever is better than Trump, maybe aside from Kanye, I don't know, but like whoever else is better than Trump. So for Kanye to start running means that some people that would not have voted for Trump would instead put their vote toward Kanye, and that means that indirectly you're kind of supporting Trump's presidency. Potentially. I mean, he could as well like take away votes from Trump, but like and we don't know what's going to happen, but you know, there's always that risk that it could happen. And it's just swaying voters that are like, I don't know, there's a word for like voters that are in between candidates, and then they get swayed into one side. So it could take away voters from, like, for example, Biden, who probably has like the best chance of winning or against Trump anyway. I don't know. But I don't know. I don't agree with this. It is a publicity stunt in the end, but I don't support it. And like, Kanye has always been like, he's always been different just for the sake of being different. Like, I honestly think Kanye supporting Trump was a mistake. It was a publicity stunt that went wrong because he didn't realize like how bad Trump would be. I don't know. I just think it's dumb. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
You want to give any input?
No, I mean, just like if I were American, it's like it just sounds like a Miss America pageant, but then like I'm not American. It's like if I were American, I mean, it's just like, yeah. I would, don't waste your time. Like, as much as Kanye is a legend, and as a person who, of course, is like part of the generation, like growing up listening to Kanye as well, just like admiring him as a entrepreneur, a human being, and also like a musician, and of course like a fashion icon, I guess, just don't waste your time, man. Like, it's not gonna be you just had Trump as president, okay, for 4 years. Look how that turned out. Use your votes meaningfully and just vote, I guess. That's the most important thing. Vote, go to the ballot. And like, your voice, as much as people say, oh, your voice doesn't matter, look what happened 4 years ago. Like, your vote actually, if you voted, like, it could have changed like the whole course of the United States, I guess. And like, I understand that like 4 years ago, like, you had to pick between who's the lesser evil, I guess. And
like, some would say, I guess.
Yeah, some would say that. And you have chosen poorly. That's what I'm just saying. I guess I don't take this to heart if anyone in America is listening. It's just, I guess, just consider that your vote means something to your future and your kid's future if you're already an adult, or if you already have kids, sorry. Just your vote matters. Just go to the ballots and vote.
I don't think anyone who has kids would be listening to us.
Dude, we don't know, man.
Unfortunately.
We wouldn't know.
Nah, bro.
But what I do support, yeah, from Kanye's thing is him getting acquired. Is he getting acquired by Gap, or did he acquire Gap?
What? No. They just have a partnership.
Oh, they have a partnership.
I don't think you can acquire a human being.
No. As in, like,
Gap acquires Kanye West.
No, like, acquires his services. Bruh. That's what I mean.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah. I do support that.
It's a partnership.
So I do support the Kanye Gap partnership, because I think it could, like, I don't know what's happening in the U.S., but is Gap sales like going down or something? Or have they been dead for the past few years? Because Gap's dead here. It's dead, yeah, in Jakarta. I think it closed
it's
down.
It's falling off in terms of like, it's definitely not as like big as it was before. It's Gap is, because Gap has like, they have Banana Republic and they have Old Navy, and it was like, the Old Navy is like the low tier stuff. The Gap is like mid tier, and then Banana Republic is like the high tier, because they own all those three companies. I think Gap. I feel like Gap is, I don't know if it's on a level with like H&M, or if H&M is, because H&M is more like definitely more trendy.
I guess like Gap in back when they still had it in Indonesia, they had a. Not much more premium price, but it was like a little bit higher tier than H&M. I think when Gap left H&M, no. Like when H&M was start. And by the way, H&M closed down here as well.
Oh really?
Yeah. H&M closed down, and they're just like, all the stores are
just
closing
Uniqlo
down.
Too popular, or no, just COVID?
Just COVID, and it's probably COVID related, because they're not selling anything, which is weird because they have an online store and Uniqlo is still surviving. They never had an online store here, which is weird. And they've had an online store for a while, H&M, but I guess like sales weren't moving, and Uniqlo prices are not much cheaper. Like, they're almost the same price, but the quality you could see, I guess.
I don't know if quality is actually better, but the perceived quality of Uniqlo.
Oh, sorry. Uniqlo has better quality for sure, dude. For sure.
That's what I think as well. But like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just prefer Uniqlo as well, like as a brand.
There are some pieces that there's some pieces in H&M. Like, if we're gonna talk about like why H&M is closing down, I would say like there are some H&M has like a, I think in even here they have like a very wide like market, because a lot of like I've seen people who have money still buy from H&M rather than Uniqlo, because they think it's more premium and they think it's more hip, because it's more like if you go,
it does try to be a lot more trendy.
Yeah, you go to Uniqlo for like pieces that are. Or clothes, sorry, not pieces. just like timeless like clothes that you can wear anytime, anywhere. And then of course H&M is just much more trendy. And again, like there's like there are people who have some of my friends who have money, who have money, they still buy H&M. And I have friends who are like less fortunate, I guess, who also buy H&M as well. So I think it's quite a wide market. Rather, Uniqlo is not, I guess it's targeted, much more targeted to like the mid-tier, like middle class to higher class, because like of the quality.
It's still cheap in that sense. Like,
oh yeah. I think Uniqlo just has still captures a wide control.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of market, I feel like it's similar. I just think it's more like market. Taste. It's like, do you want more
trendy hip, clothes that's going
to trendy yeah. stuff? I mean, H&M does have basics too, but I feel like what they're known for is quote unquote like being trendy, like trendy clothes for cheap.
They have a
whereas
high
like Uniqlo has like always been like good quality basics.
Like H&M has like, I would say like Uniqlo has Uniqlo U, which is like their high, like not high tier. I guess they're like much like better made. Like stuff.
Yeah, just they're I don't know what the opposite of a diffusion line is.
It's like upfusion.
Like yeah, just like you can say like the higher tier.
The higher tier,
like the more basically more item. Expensive.
Yeah.
Quote unquote better quality and more like designer.
And H&M actually has like their higher tier thing. Okay, they have another brand, like they have another brand that's higher tier than H&M, which is COS. Like COS, they're actually like part of H&M, I think. So COS is the higher tier, but then inside H&M they do have like their own version of Uniqlo U, which is H&M Studios. And I have a few pieces from like H&M Studios, and they're really really like, it's better quality control. It's like better fabrics as well, I guess. I think maybe not better fabrics, it's just better quality control. And that line never really took off here, because you can only find them like those pieces in like the bigger H&M stores. But I actually like that collection, like the H&M edition ones. They can only find them in one store, sorry. But yeah, this is weird.
All right, anyway, let's go back to Gap and Kanye. Okay.
I think Gap and Kanye is a very good partnership.
So definitely good for Gap, because Gap has fallen off. Yeah. And
I think it's, I think, okay, you go ahead.
Now, Gap is definitely more, like, I don't think they have as large as an online presence. It's definitely a lot more, like, physical retail. And they can use this partnership with Kanye to, like, spur a new, like, online, more online-focused, like business model, I guess, because I think their sales are like falling and stuff like that, and they definitely are not as relevant anymore in terms of like, not just like in a fashion sense, but like when I think about where to buy clothes from, people don't really think of Gap anymore. So it could be good for them. The only thing I would tell Gap something to consider is just be careful, because Kanye can be highly controversial. So it'll be interesting to see like how Gap handles something like that, you know. I don't know, they just, Gap doesn't seem as, it seems like they're not as modern of a brand as like, you know, a Nike or an Adidas, which are the two previous companies that had relationships with Kanye in the past.
I mean, like, the thing is, I think this is, it's also, like, not good for Kanye. I think he's actually, like, making his dreams, like his statement actually coming to reality, which is like, I want Yeezy for everyone. And this is like a good, right. This is a good place for you. Like Gap is everywhere in America. And this is like a nice, like this is like his words coming to fruition, I guess. Wow, that's a big word, Sha. his statement of like, oh, Yeezys for everybody. I want everyone to have Yeezys. Yeah. It doesn't have to be just like he shoes Yeezys or shoes. No, Yeezy is his brand. So this is just a good way for him to spread his, I guess, his ideas and his product. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see like whether how affordable I guess it does become, and like whether I don't think it'll go like that, the route of like the original Yeezy stuff where it's like limited or whatever. I feel like a partnership with Gap would make everything more accessible to everyone, but we'll see. But yeah, that could be interesting. There'll definitely be people that like
he's like
hate on it.
Of course, like
WP.
Yeah.
There'll be people that like it's so easily accessible. It's just not like cool anymore. But like it's I don't know. It's giving.
I mean, like his stuff with Adidas right now. He is like restocking. Let's just say, like, of course the restocks sell out, but he's restocking items almost like once every few months. Like, or he has a new, not restocking items, or he has like a new design, or like restocking items, of course. Like, I think like the V2s, the Zebras, that were like the highest, I guess they were the rarest of all the Yeezys that came out, the 350 V2s. They restocked last week in Jakarta as well. And it wasn't like, it wasn't like just wait in line. You could just buy it. Yeah. So he is staying to his word, which is I want Yeezys for everyone. It's just, yeah. I think Adidas is just like, you know, like let's keep the hype in this. As much as they're releasing like new product almost every 2 months, I guess.
I mean, it worked out, I think, like in terms of you release, you know, like it made sense. You release the products like with the original like Yeezy like V1s or whatever, like the first shoes he came out with Adidas.
Turtle Doves.
Yeah, like you release those because they definitely weren't making as much money as they were. I mean, they sold for, what, did they sell them for like $250 or whatever? I don't know what the retail price was, or I can't remember. But say sold them for like $250, like if you purchase them from Adidas, but they're super limited quantity. And like they're going for like what, 1,000 on the resale market.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they generated all the hype around that, and then now they're kind of reaping the benefits of that hype that was made like a while ago. So now they can like continue to restock. They can just, Adidas can sell more products, and they can actually benefit from the marketing.
I wouldn't mind if they restocked the 750s.
I mean, I don't think they'll ever restock like the older stuff.
Like, yeah,
I
like think the, those, you know the 750s, right? The gray ones, the first ones with the zipper.
That would be too, like, that would break it.
Actually, like
that would
those.
Go too far.
Actually, like those I a think. Lot.
Yeah, that'd go too far though. They would never restock those. But like, I'm just saying, from a business perspective, it makes sense, like what they're doing now. And like people will always, you know, people are always going to hate on it. What we can call it, like the hype beast that will always hate on, like, you know, Adidas is making these products more readily available, so they're not like as exclusive, so they don't have as much value. But like,
it's not the hype from a purely it's the resellers, business, bro.
I mean, no, I think it's the hype beast too, because
they're not exclusive anymore.
It's not cool anymore in the same way it was previously. Obviously, the resellers will also get hit as well, but there is that sense of like exclusivity. It's like not everyone can have these, so it's cool to have. And it doesn't have that same factor anymore. But from a business perspective, from Adidas's perspective, they're definitely making more money off the Yeezy brand now than they were in the past. Because in the past, the high prices were all from like the resale market. Adidas, the thing Adidas does get from that is the free marketing. Yeah. Mm. So,
yeah.
Props to Adidas.
So next topic.
We can talk about it. You want to talk about the NBA?
No. Just, I think we should, like, the lighter topics later. Like, the NBA is the last topic we'll do. Because, like, you want to talk about this Smash thing that's been going on?
Yeah, sure. Basically, yeah, this is just something I brought up. But if you're familiar with the game, Super Smash Brothers...
I am.
It's a game on made by Nintendo. It's like a fighting game where you have a bunch of different characters from different Nintendo. It's like mostly Nintendo franchises, a couple of other, but they've also had like collaborations with some other franchises that are not Nintendo owned. So they're put in the game, basically like a fighting game. And the controversy is around, it's a bit of a heavy topic, but we'll say there has been recently a lot of allegations around sexual assault on like minors.
There's in been the esports like, scene?
In the Smash community, like around the people, basically like so Smash has like a competitive scene with like the players and all that, and there's some controversy around the players in that community, essentially an esports community, where allegations of like sexual assault towards minors and stuff like that, It's interesting because Smash is very, the Smash like scene has always prided itself in being very grassroots. They're very like non, I don't want to say like they're against like big companies, but they kind of are. Because Smash, unlike a lot of esports, they don't have a lot of support from the developers. There's not as much money in Smash as like other tournaments, like, you know, big esports like League.
Say like League, but then like just compare it to other fighting games like Mortal, like MK.
Oh yeah,
Injustice, like, right? Injustice is still an esport.
Even within like the fighting game, like among other fighting game esports, Smash has no money. If you look at Evo, Evo is like, I think it was Evo 2019. Evo is one of the biggest fighting game like tournament that takes place every year. So they have one. There's like Evo Japan and there's one Evo in the US. I think it was last year in Evo Japan. I don't remember what the prize pools for the other tournaments or the other games were, but there definitely was like money. And the if you won the Smash tournament, the Evo Smash tournament, you would win a Nintendo GameCube controller. Like no money, wait, you just get a GameCube controller.
Wait, what?
Because there's no money in that scene because Nintendo doesn't really support, because the creator of Smash, he doesn't really like the competitive scene. I think he is more like Smash is a game that you should play, you know, with your friends as like a family, like fun game to play with each other. Mm. He doesn't really support the competitive scene that much. So like Nintendo also doesn't really support it as much. So it's because of that, there's this very like grassroots nature of like, we're going to do everything ourselves. And like from the early days of Smash, it's always been like, everyone's just a smasher, I guess. Like everyone's just a player, and Smash tournaments are just a bunch of guys that like are passionate for the game, and just wanna play, you know. And because of that, I think it's created like this. Yeah, but it's created like this. It's weird because in esports is different from physical sports in the sense that, like in esports, you can be like 15 you don't have or to 16. Be
fit. Yeah, and you don't have to be fit. Well,
but like the being fit in esports is different from being fit in like a physical sport, where like you can be 16 years old. There's one kid who's like 16 from Japan, and he's one of the best players in the world. He's like top 10 in the world. So you can be 16 and compete with someone who's like 25 or 26. Whereas if you played like tennis or something, and you were 16 competing against a 25-year-old, it's not to say it's not to say it couldn't happen. It can, but like it's much more unlikely.
You can't win. You probably couldn't win.
Yeah, and just because of the nature of video games, there are going to be a lot more younger people at those events. So the grassroots thing of like everyone is just a player, it's like weird because people who are like 25, 26 are essentially treating people who are 16 years old the same as if they were treating someone at their same age, if that makes sense. Like everyone is kind of treated the same. There's no like, oh, you're a minor, so I have to, you know, if you're 25 and someone's 16, as much as you're on the same like standing because you're both just players, there still has to be some kind of like, you know, you're, especially if they're new, if the 16-year-old is like going to his first tournament or her first tournament for the first time, there's a sense of like, you know, you have to try and protect them in the sense like, okay, get them used to how things are going or whatever, just kind of like mentoring them in a sense. I don't know, you just can't treat them the same way as you treat someone who's also 25, like the same age as you. And so I think because of that, it's a lot of these other problems have come forward. Like, you know, if there's like a after tournament party or whatever, you have like a lot of younger, because they're all treated the same, you have a lot of younger kids just going to the parties as if they were already
25.
Of legal drinking age. Yeah, and like people don't really, no one really checks, obviously, because it's, no one checks because it's not an official party, it's just a group of guys or a group of girls or both hanging out with each other. We don't need to check for, we don't make it official and check for ID or whatever, it's just a couple of people hanging out. So because it feels very anti-establishment, so it feels like they don't really check for stuff like that. I think that's why a lot of these problems are happening. I don't know, like there's been talks of having like, I think it makes sense that, I think the biggest thing that they're saying now is if you're a minor, I don't know, whatever you have the age limit as, you should be attending tournaments with like on a legal guardian or some kind of guardian. Because it's like, if you're going to a tournament at 14 with like a bunch of guys who are like 29, 30, it is a bit weird, you know? Like as much as we want to say age is just a number, it is a bit weird to treat someone who's 14 the same as a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that could make sense. It's just, yeah, I guess the issue I wanted to speak about initially was just like having children in, or protecting children in esports. And like, I think that could be one thing. Another thing could be like having different age brackets. You know, like in other sports, you have like under 14, 16s, 18s. But I think that's more to like protect people from playing against others that are too physically developed, you know?
Yeah.
So it's less so to protect them. I mean, maybe it does protect them in other ways as well, but I think the primary focus for that was to protect them from playing against people that are better than them. Because you can, if you're 16, you can always play in an under 21 bracket if you want, like in other sports.
Is there a threshold to go pro? Like what age? Or is it just because they're it's Smash is so anti-establishment, you can't go pro?
Oh, no, Smash doesn't have any, like, there is no, like, quote-unquote going pro. Going pro just means, like, you're winning a bunch of tournaments. Like, there's no, if you just go to tournaments and you get good results, you can get a ranking, and then you're, I guess you can be considered pro. There's no, like, I have to be a certain age to be considered a professional. It's just based on whether you're winning tournaments. Like, there are 13-year-old kids that are, like, quote-unquote pro. We have like sponsorships and stuff. Yeah.
I think like not a simple way, but like a start would be like establishing an age threshold, I guess. Like in other esports.
Is there age thresholds in other esports?
Yeah. Like I think Stewie2K can only sign his contract with a Shroud. With Cloud9 when he was 18.
Hmm.
Or, like, you have your parents signed for you.
I mean, yeah, I think that is what happens as well. But I think it's just more like, I don't know. Like, you're saying just age threshold in terms of going pro?
Yeah, yeah.
But what does going pro entail? How does that differ from not being a pro?
I mean, like, the, like it's just like illegal, like you have to be 18.
Is it to attend tournaments or something?
Yeah,
or
like to attend tournaments. Or like, for example, if your parents signed for you in that team, your parents have to be there. Something like that.
I think that makes more sense. Like you should have a guardian if you are, say, like under 18, if you want to attend a tournament. I mean, from a legal perspective, it does make sense to just say, like, you can only attend tournaments if you're 18. But the thing is, like, if say if you have, like, two brackets, one for under 18 and then one for everyone else. But the issue is, like I said, you can be 16 and be, like, the best in the world competing against people that are much older than you. Because I think the it's going to suck if you're forced to play against people that are worse than you. Just because you're not of a certain age. Because even in other sports, like I said before, you can, like if I'm playing tennis and I'm like 14, I can play in an under 16 bracket. In fact, a lot of people do just because they want to fight against better players. There's nothing restricting you from going into a higher like age bracket. Like there in tennis as well, like you can, like Sharapova, didn't she win like her first Grand Slam at like 17 or 16 years old? Like there's nothing stopping you from going into a higher age bracket. So it would suck if they were forced to not play against the best of the best just because they were young. And you know, they might not even play Smash for that long. They might only play until they're 18 and then stop. So I think the Guardian thing though is definitely a good start. Good idea. A good start. And like just establishing rules, like no, if you're going to have a party, like, no, you have to check ID or whatever, or like no alcohol at the events because there are minors around, just stuff like that. Just they have to start establishing rules because they were pretty much none at all. Like I said, because it was very anti-establishment.
So
we'll leave it at that. Just for context, this man is dying. He's dying of,
of it's sleep 1 a.m. deprivation. I'm just really tired. So, I guess the last topic that I want to come to is the NBA is coming back in July 31st. It's pretty. They're playing their games in they're playing their games in Orlando. So I don't think they're not going straight to playoffs, but I don't know how to say it. So just the top 8 teams, I think top 8 teams, they from each conference, they play in Orlando, and it's going to be a bubble. They're playing in Orlando Disneyland, by the way. So they have all their they have their facilities are for the players only, and they have, it's called the NBA bubble. And there's a proposal to have a second bubble for the team that didn't make the playoffs, which kind of makes me happy because I am a Knicks fan and we didn't make the playoffs because we were the second worst team in the league. No, sorry, second or third? Third worst team in the conference. So there's a proposal that the teams that didn't make the playoffs, they play in Chicago just for practice. And not just for practice, just continuing the season. They have no hope of going to the playoffs, so they're just playing just to have more experience for the rookies and just to keep fit, I guess. And it's a good idea in concept, but I think it's unneeded. If you're just saying like you need experience, but
I mean, it also just sucks like to not play anymore just because there's no point, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess like, yeah, so I'm pretty happy the NBA is coming back. I don't know who's going to win this year. I think Lakers are pretty good. Like their contentions, their title contention is really good because they have like a solid team and they added J.R. Smith. So...
Hmm.
Yeah, Ilham doesn't watch basketball, so they added J.R. Smith, so it's pretty good.
I know that J.R. Smith.
Yeah, I'm pretty dead right now. I have no energy. So, yeah, I guess that's the last topic that I kind of want to discuss. That I'm kind of happy that the NBA is coming back, and sports overall, they are resuming. Of course, you have to stay at home, which is pretty depressing, like, in my opinion. It's just, I feel like watching sports makes me, like, kind of depressed because I can't be, not, like, doesn't mean that I can't be out there as a professional, but it's just, I just want to do sports, but I can't. It just makes me, like...
I just want to do sports, man.
Just want to play, man. Yeah, like, I don't know if, like, if I hopefully this ends before this corona thing ends before this year, because I don't really want, like, I play American football professionally. American flag football professionally, by the way. I'll just admit it's just like American flag football professionally in Jakarta. And like when the NFL comes back, it's just making me feel depressed because I miss being out there. And I'm like, I do miss being, I miss being like active in that community and in the league, the Jakarta league, I guess. So yeah, it's just, I'm happy that sports are coming back. It's a good way to keep your mind off things, off work, off school, off uni.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's also an aspect of, I can't do anything. Oh, soccer. I can't play soccer. Just like that. I can't. I don't. Just remembering that. Or like, oh, basketball. Oh, I can't play basketball. Even though sports facilities are open now, it's just, I wouldn't suggest playing sports because you are interacting with people in a physical way. So, the thing is just like, if it's like team sports is the thing that I would say you shouldn't do. But then, like, if you're playing tennis and you're technically you don't have to interact with that other person. I mean, like, that's fine. Going back, like, because like what happened in the Djokovic thing, because they were hugging and they were like hanging out and things like that.
Yeah, it's also all the other stuff that they did alongside playing tennis.
Exactly. But if you're just like purely like, hey, you want to play tennis? Sure. Just go, like, do the elbow handshake with your friend and just play tennis and don't have to physically like touch that person. I guess you can still do that.
It does suck that like some sports are, you know, you can play some sports.
F1 while came social back today, distancing. By the way.
Oh yeah. Thanks for the input.
F1 came back today. The team that I support, like, just lost it.
Yeah,
but I mean, support what I'm saying is, sucky team, by the way. Okay, why?
Yeah. No, I just want to say, like, it sucks that some sports you can play while maintaining a better social distancing. While you can better social distance playing some sports than others.
Mm.
Like tennis, you can better social distance than playing basketball or something. Even if you're going 1v1 with someone on basketball. You still
have to touch the guy.
Yeah, unless you just play like horse or something. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
I mean, yeah. Well, that wraps up this episode.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we'll come to our favorite segment, of course, our suggestion segment. Ilham, do you have any suggestions?
I don't know. I haven't really been doing anything.
I have a suggestion, I guess. I slept on Pop Smoke. Rest in peace. I've been listening to his new album that came out a few days ago. I like it. It's nice. It's a good run.
Like,
it's good running music. It's called a... what's this album called? I don't remember it. Sorry. I'm Googling while... Shoot for the Stars. Aim for the Moon. That's his album post of his death. I don't know how to pronounce it. But, yeah, I suggest his album. It's a good listen. Post-mortem? Yes, post-mortem. But it's like, it's a post-mortem album. Yeah, I suggest that for this week. It's a good listen. He sounds like he has a cough all the time. Like he needs to clear his throat, but that's his voice. But yeah, I suggest that.
Bing.
Cool.
No suggestions this week, Ilham?
I mean, like I'm watching something, but I just started. It's like it's 6 episodes, and I've only watched the first episode.
You can suggest
it's that. It's like a TV miniseries called Gunbuster. It is an anime. It's made by the same creator who was responsible for Neon Genesis Evangelion. This is like his first, his like directorial debut. So I'm watching that. It's about, what is it about?
Top wo nerai Gunbuster. I just Googled it.
Yeah. It's like an older anime. Again, about robots, as I've mentioned in the past, I am a fan of this genre.
Of mechas.
Yeah. I can't really say what it's about yet. I'm only like one episode in, but it is very short. I've heard it's pretty good. So hopefully it is. I'll probably just update on that like next week. I can't give a recommendation yet. All right, that wraps it up for today. I'm gonna close out this podcast because this man is too tired to speak. Thanks for listening. Yep. We'll see you guys next week. Yes. Inshallah,
God willing.
Peace, love, and prosperity, my brothers.
All right, we'll see you on the next one. Peace.